Okay, folks, so are you ready to jump back in time with us?
Back to ancient Rome.
That's right.
To the Roman Republic.
We are going on another deep dive.
A deep dive.
Into ancient Rome.
And I, for one...
We're going to be looking at...
I'm excited for this one.
Some of the key terms and concepts define this civilization.
And we've got some really cool sources this time.
Yeah, these sources you found are fantastic. Fantastic.
We're fascinating stuff.
I'm really excited about this.
Me too.
I think this is going to be a really good one.
I think so too.
So let's get right into it.
Let's do it.
I think one of the coolest words, just one of the coolest words from ancient Rome is legion.
Oh, yeah.
When I think about ancient Rome, I think about legions.
Legions are iconic.
Yeah. What made these legions so formidable? What were they all about?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. They really were formidable. Yeah. They were the backbone of the Roman army.
Okay.
And they were renowned for their discipline and their organization and their effectiveness on the battlefield.
And off the battlefield, too, right?
Well, I mean, they were conquering and holding vast territories. Wait,
exactly.
For centuries.
That was what I was going to say. It's like, how did they maintain control for so long?
It is amazing, right?
Over such a large area.
A vast empire.
Yeah.
And the legions were a key part of that.
Yeah, they had to be really adaptable.
Oh, for sure.
To fight in all these different places.
Different terrains, different enemies. You know, they were up against all kinds of challenges.
Yeah, and I guess the training must have been intense.
Oh, absolutely.
They had to be ready for anything.
They were highly trained fighting forces.
Okay, so these legions were conquering, they're holding territory.
You're right.
What about back home?
Back in Rome.
Yeah, who was in charge in Rome?
Well, that brings us to another interesting term.
Okay.
Dictator.
Okay. Now that word.
Yeah.
That has a very different meaning today.
It does, doesn't it?
Than it did back then.
Back in ancient Rome.
Yeah.
Being a dictator wasn't necessarily a bad thing. It was actually a temporary position.
Oh, okay.
Appointed during times of extreme crisis.
So an emergency.
Exactly. Okay. It was like an emergency power switch.
But there had to be some safeguards.
Right.
Well, yeah. To prevent abuse of power.
You're thinking like a Roman.
Yeah, that was
a key concern for them.
Yeah.
So the dictator.
They didn't want some power hungry guy coming in.
They had very specific ideas about how this was supposed to work.
Yeah.
The dictator had absolute power, but only for a limited time.
Okay.
To deal specifically with the crisis at hand.
Okay.
And then ideally, they would willingly relinquish their power.
Good down.
Once the crisis was over.
Wow. Okay, so who's the most famous example of this?
Well, there's one that everyone remembers.
Okay.
Cincinnatus. Yeah. This guy was called from his farm.
Wow.
To become dictator.
Okay.
He successfully defended Rome from invasion.
Wow.
And then...
He just went right back.
Immediately returned to his plow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. He became a symbol of civic virtue and selfless leadership.
I wonder if there's anyone like that today.
Who knows?
Who knows?
That's a good question.
So we've got... the dictator in place for these emergencies. But what about day-to-day business?
Yes, the regular running of the Republic.
Yeah, who was calling the shots.
So for that, we have the consuls.
Okay.
Two of them.
Okay.
The highest elected officials in the Roman Republic.
So they're sharing power.
Exactly. Kind of like co-presidents.
Co-presidents. I like that.
And then there were the praetors.
Okay.
Who acted as judges.
Judges, okay.
And all of this was taking place against a backdrop of a society that was divided.
Oh, here we go.
Into two main groups.
Two main groups. I think I know where this is going.
You probably do.
The patricians.
The patricians, the aristocracy, and the plebeians.
The commoners.
The common folk.
So you've got like this built-in class struggle.
Oh, absolutely.
Baked into the system.
And this tension between the patricians and the plebeians.
Right.
It wasn't just some theoretical concept. It had real consequences.
Like what?
Well, for example, early Roman law
forbade
marriages between patricians and plebeians.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And of course, there were other inequalities as well.
Right.
And all of this led to a whole series of social and political conflicts.
Conflicts, okay.
Which we call the conflict of the orders.
The conflict of the orders. I like that.
Catchy, isn't it?
Yeah. So what happened?
Well, the plebeians, they weren't just going to sit back and accept this.
Okay.
They organized protests.
Okay.
They even staged secessions.
Wow. So they were really pushing for change.
They were. No, and over time, they gained more rights.
Okay.
And more political power.
So their efforts paid off?
To a certain extent, yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't a complete victory, but it was a step in the right direction.
Right.
This struggle really shaped the evolution of the Roman Republic.
Okay.
It laid the groundwork for a more inclusive system.
More inclusive.
Though, of course, it was far from a perfect democracy.
Yeah, Rome wasn't a democracy.
In the modern sense, no.
But it's still really interesting to see how these power dynamics from so long ago are still relevant today.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's human nature, I guess.
So speaking of power dynamics.
Yes.
I always think of Caesar.
Ah, Caesar.
Pompey and Crassus.
The first triumvirate.
The triumvirate, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's a great example of power sharing.
Yeah, and how it can go wrong.
Right. So a triumvirate was a political alliance of three powerful individuals.
Okay.
And like you said, the first triumvirate with Caesar, Pompey, and Crassus.
Right.
That's the most famous example.
It's like a classic example.
Yeah.
But it fell apart.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
All that ambition, all those conflicting interests.
Yeah.
It led to a power struggle and eventually to civil war.
The end of the Republic.
Well, it's a major factor in the fall of the Republic.
So a cautionary tale about the fragility of power sharing.
Yeah, things can get messy.
Okay, let's move on to imperator.
The imperator.
Is that where we get the word emperor?
You got it. Imperator originally meant a victorious general acclaimed by his troops.
By his troops, okay.
But over time, it evolved into a title for the Roman emperors.
So language evolves.
Yeah, it does.
Along with the times.
Reflecting those changes in political structures.
Right.
The concentration of power.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, how we end up with emperor.
Exactly.
From imperator.
The word emperor is derived from imperator.
So it's all connected.
It is.
Language is fascinating.
It is.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot of different terms and concepts.
Yeah.
But let's bring it all back to this idea of a republic.
Right.
And the idea of pluralism.
Okay.
How did these ideals function in Roman times?
Well, the Roman Republic.
Yeah.
Despite its internal conflicts and limitations.
It wasn't perfect.
No system, but it was relatively pluralistic for its time.
Okay.
It allowed for a degree of citizen participation debate.
Okay.
And diverse voices in government.
So not a true democracy.
Not in the modern sense.
But it's still pretty remarkable for that period.
It is.
And these ideas about citizen participation checks and balances the rule of law.
These were all very important concepts in Roman political thought.
And did these have a lasting impact?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, even the founding fathers of the United States.
Wow.
They drew inspiration from the Roman Republic.
When they were creating their own system.
Exactly.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. The legacy of Rome is still with us today.
So this deep dive.
Deep dive.
Has been so fascinating.
It has been fun.
And I think what's really amazing is how all these words.
Yeah.
And concepts from ancient Rome.
Thousands of years ago.
Thousands of years ago.
Right.
Still resonate today.
They do.
They still shape our understanding of power and leadership. So for those of you listening out there.
Out there in the world.
Keep exploring these topics.
Keep learning.
Because these words and ideas.
Yeah.
They're not just ancient history.
They're still relevant.
They're still shaping the world we live in.
They are.
Until next time.
See you then.